Today on Real Radio.
How the body fits together. It's awesome to see. True Christian fellowship is an active movement of the body of God. And we're in agreement.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, we've been looking at passages in the second chapter where John speaks of Antichrist and not to be deceived by anything that is against the true Messiah and all that he is and all that he represents. Now, continuing down that path, the Apostle John continues to admonish the Lord's followers to separate truth from error. And believe it or not, fellowship with other believers is one way to grow and to hone our skills in discerning true discipleship. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson from 1 John 2, verses 19 through 24. It's a lesson called True Christian Fellowship.
He's talking about people who are not belonging to Jesus at all. And you can find them in church. And you can see here that they depart because God moves them out. I told you before that Dr. Walter Martin said, it's a great thing that Jesus moves them out. Because if he didn't move them out into the cult that they finally wind up into, then they'll just continue to sit right among you in church on Sunday all the days of your life. There are those who are against the cross or an enemy to the cross. Secondly, we see this. True Christian fellowship. By departing, they expose their true colors, who they really are. They went out, it says, from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. You ought to underline that. They would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, unveiled, the drape or the covering pulled off of them. God sends them out. We don't have to have a Holy Spirit watchdog team. You know, we don't have to have that. God will take care of this place. And there are those. I remember one time there was the lady, I think I told you before, she was a false prophet, and she tried to say something during the service, and you guys had just started singing, and I couldn't, actually, I totally lied. I could hear what she was saying, but I told her, excuse me, I can't hear what you're saying. And she said something about, I have a message for this church. And you guys were all singing. It was at the end of a message. I said, what? She says, I have a message for the church. I said, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. So I walked her outside. I said, now, what were you trying to say? She goes, I got to get back in there. I have a message from God to this church. And come to find out, it was a very perverse thing. But I said, you're not going in there. I work for God. She said. I said, well, so do I. If we work for the same boss, then we should agree on this message that you want to deliver, which is not from God. There's no way that God would say this. And in an instant, every type or four-letter word came out of her mouth that you can imagine. Well, Jesus said you'd know them by their fruit, no matter how rotten it might be. And the flies circling around it, it was quite clear. And that woman departed. Unfortunately, somebody driving home from church saw this lady walking down the street and picked her up, you know, and found out that she had been asked to leave a church. And that was a whole other story. But Jesus takes care of his fellowship. John is telling us they're among us. So what do we do about it? We pray, God, protect the church. But listen, because Jesus is the one to pastor the church, it is extremely important that the pastor and the elders that are here to maintain and help and nurture the body, it's absolutely essential that they be in direct submission to Jesus himself. If that's not the case, I personally believe that if you can pray and ask God, Lord, am I in the right church or not? Lord, is this the place that you want me to be? You know what I think? I think God is bright enough to answer you. And I'm not talking about personality or he's, you know, I can't go back there. That pastor's so ugly, I just can't even listen to the message. Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. Well, you know what? The worship leader, their hair's too long. I'm not talking about your petty problem that you have in that area. I'm talking about, is the word of God going out? Are you being challenged? Are you being convicted? Are you maybe convicted one week and then encouraged the next? And admonished one month and then so energized about a message or something that you're being changed moment by moment, or as Paul put it, from glory to glory? It's important. It's ultimately important. The next thing that we see here is that having departed, we must let them go their way. This almost sounds cold. We are talking about, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, people who do not belong next to you. They are antichrist in spirit. They will destroy prayer meetings. They will destroy men's groups. They will destroy women's ministry. They'll destroy people that are around them. And they're cunning. They're crafty. When Pastor Jesus moves them on, let them go. Let them go. You and I have no commitment to try to grow some super church or some kingdom. Let Jesus be the one who rules his church. And John is telling us to be very careful because true Christian fellowship is characterized by several things. One of those things is that those who are Christians continue with us. And let me put it this way. Continue with the body of Christ. Gosh, Jack, I kind of get the feeling you're asking me to leave. No, I'm not saying that, but you will never hear from me an argument on why you should stay here. If you're growing, praise God. And I'm not saying, and I'm not speaking to those who don't know Christ. I'm speaking to you who know Christ. Do you realize that there very, very well may be a time where you have learned what you have needed to learn in this fellowship and it's time to move on? Do you know how much of a blessing that is? You are here, I trust, on Sundays where we get to parade often people in front of you to pat them on the back and pray for them and send them off to some foreign country in the world. You know, I think that's one of the most wonderful things that could happen in a church. Well, but you know what? What if everybody starts heading off going to all kinds of parts of the world? Would to God that would happen. The next thing that we want to take a look at, very important, is this. It says in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. This is interesting language. And you know all things. What does he mean by that? First of all, true Christian fellowship is under the direction or the orchestration of the work of the Holy Spirit himself. His internal presence in our lives will see us through. Those of us who are Christians in here tonight, you may be floundering as a believer. You may be struggling. You may be complacent, or you may be red hot for God. The fact of the matter is, the Holy Spirit is at work within the church. And listen, he's under the command of Pastor Jesus. Jesus himself said that the Holy Spirit would teach you whatsoever I've commanded you. Jesus also said that the Holy Spirit would be the one who would bring all things to your remembrance. Isn't that great? It's the Holy Spirit, and his internal presence will see us through all the way as believers. What do I mean by that? For those who are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. And let me say this. I always get amazed to hear or to find out what I believe from other people. It blows my mind. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, that is, if you are born again, God will take you from where you're at now all the way through this life and deposit you in heaven. He will do it. He's committed to doing it. He'll see to it. The scriptures tell us in many places and gives us assurance and comfort. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us that we have been sealed unto the day of redemption. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The word means a down payment. We have this internal witness of the Spirit of God. He's going to see us through. In Psalm 133, verse 2, concerning the act of anointing the priest, there is this picture portrayed as the oil is poured over the sons of Aaron. It says that it is like precious oil upon the head running down over or onto the beard. The beard of Aaron running down on the edges of his garments. That's the symbolism of the Holy Spirit, that the priest of God is being enveloped in the presence of the Holy Spirit for ministry. Well, the Holy Spirit is not necessarily symbolically poured out on you now by a vial of oil. He dwells in you. He sets his mark upon you. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you have that assurance this evening? Do you know that you are a child of the living God? If you were born again by the Spirit of God, there's an internal witness. You don't have to wonder or worry, gee, am I going to be one of those who walk out of this fellowship, never to return, to turn my back on Christ, and to fall into perdition and perish? That can never happen to you if you're born again. Now, let me say this. This internal presence will see us through. I'm saying that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. I believe this. People have asked, can you lose your salvation? You know, that seems to be the question of the ages. I'm repeatedly shocked at the ignorance of Christians regarding the question. Can you lose your salvation? And when you talk to somebody, and this is the topic, gee, can you lose your salvation? Well, you know what? I think you can because, you know, I had a friend who went forward at the Billy Graham Crusade here in Anaheim, and, you know, a week later they were back in the world and stuff. You know, they never really changed and all. But I think they're saved. Or like last Sunday, we went down into the water and we baptized somebody and they come up out of the water. Oh, they must be saved. They got baptized. You know, the Christian community is so quick to say that somebody's saved when in reality that's not the case. Can you lose your salvation? Let me put it to you clearly. If you are saved, you will not lose it. The question is, are you saved? Well, what does saved mean? And again, I'm trying to create, we should make a little t-shirt about this. In this day and age, it's not good enough anymore to say, do you believe in Jesus? You know, it's almost damnable. It's almost criminal to walk up to somebody and say, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. See you in heaven and walk away. What does that mean? The Bible says that Satan believes in Jesus and he trembles, but he's not going to heaven. Besides, we use the word believe like I believe and so thus it is. When the word in the New Testament is believing to the point of faith. I believe in Jesus Christ so much that I have sat my entire weight down upon his hands and I'm trusting in him fully to take me to heaven. But you see, to appease our own consciousness or weakness, or I don't know what it is, we'll say, I think he's saved. Or he prayed the sinner's prayer. What does that mean? Do they know what decision they're making? And are we clearly presenting the gospel to them? The scriptures teach us that we can know for sure. Let me answer it this way. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, that is in Christ, you are now in Christ. I don't want to talk to you or anybody else about if you believe in Jesus. Because most people do. You can ask an evolutionary biologist if he believes in Jesus. Do you know what his answer is going to be? Of course. He's an actual figure who lived nearly 2,000 years ago. I believe in Jesus. He's not stupid. What we need to start asking people, and it's almost like a little secret code. Remember those cereal boxes? You get the little ring in there, little code. Start asking people this. Are you in Christ? Because only the people who are born again by the Spirit of God know the answer to that question. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about, by the way. Are you in Christ? If somebody says, in Christ, what's that? You need to witness to them. If you're in Christ, you have put your faith in Him. I am absolutely against what is called easy believism. If you can just massage them enough, maybe they'll say the name or say the word and we'll consider them saved. Not so. Another very important thing that we need to realize is that the Holy Spirit, He has an external witness, and it will always be in agreement. That is with the believers, you and I together. Well, we may differ on peripheral issues. We may differ on timing. We may differ on certain things. But according to Amos chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? They cannot walk together unless they agree. It implies that they're joined at the hip. I'm going right. Well, I'm going left. Well, they're going to tear each other in half. When the Holy Spirit is working in the life of the believer and there's true Christian fellowship, this external witness is always seen in agreement. Personally, in this church, so many of you are committed to not only reaching this community, but reaching the world. And every so often, somebody will come up and they'll say, I believe, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, that they say it, not knowing that there's other things happening. They'll say, why are we, going to Russia, or going to whatever? Why are we doing this? We should do something in our own backyard. We are doing so much in our own backyard. But even if we weren't doing so much in our own backyard, reaching out to the world is commendable, and we are to be in agreement. And I praise God for this church because you guys are in agreement. God is able to use this church because we're arm in arm. What a glorious thing, just this last week as it came to a close, how the team in Russia worked arm in arm together. So beautiful. You could see almost how some people in the body, this person's an elbow. You can just see that they're an elbow. This person, they're the mouthpiece. This person, they're a knee. This person, they're a neck. Just by their very personality of ministry, how the body fits together. It's awesome to see. True Christian fellowship is an active movement of the body of God, and we're in agreement. When Christiana was giving her testimony about Africa, she did ask me, I sense this, I sense the other thing, I don't know, what should I do? It wasn't my idea to say go to her. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go. And God wants us to go. Africa, maybe. Chino Hills? Probably. His external witness will always lead us and agreement. And the next thing that we see here is that his fellowship, true Christian fellowship, must be well-defined. And what I mean by that is this. Christian fellowship must be well-defined. That is, when we get together, we need to know what we're talking about. I want to tell you something. There are people who come to this church, they turn their badges inside out or they put them inside their pocket and they try to sneak in and they watch. It happens a lot, you just don't know it. There are certain people from certain cults that come. There was a very, and is a very well-respected man in a certain cult who often interviewed me until the point I said, look, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. 5 times we met. I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. Wanting to know, why is Calvary Chapel growing? Well, truth for one thing. In the fact that we teach this book and no other. The important thing is when we fellowship together, is our fellowship defined? Is it clear? When us men get together, do we talk more about the Lakers than about Jesus? It's not a sin to talk about the Lakers. It's probably a sin to expect them to win, but it's not a sin to... It's not a sin. But when we get together, what is our conversation all about? When men go on retreats and after the teaching and you get in your bunk, you know, and there's usually, you know, 4 to 6 guys. 4 to 6 guys in a bunk, and I don't know why. Every men's conference that I've ever been to, on Friday night, they serve beans. I think they just do this for a conversational thing. I don't know why they do that, but when men get together, what's the fellowship circled around? What or how is it defined? Do you talk about Jesus sometimes? Or do you talk about Jesus because you know what? He's the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from 1 John 2 and verses 19 through 24. The title, True Christian Fellowship. True Christian Fellowship, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series, through the 3 New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? We also have an app for your smartphone or your tablet that goes by the same name called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Remember, it's absolutely free, so if you just got a new tablet or a smartphone for Christmas, well, here's your opportunity to go to the App Store and download it at no charge. Lots of features connected to Real Radio right there at your fingertips, like Journey, that's another one of our TV programs that airs on hischannel.com, Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love, and that you can get via email. Also, our Wednesday night study is available, which also airs, by the way, on hischannel.com live on Wednesday nights. Our Real Radio podcasts are available. And, of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, our Monday night TV program that deals with exactly that, real life issues from a biblical perspective. And a whole lot more when you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. I'm looking at mine right now. I got to tell you, it makes things real convenient. Just go to your app store and look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your tablet or smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you could always visit us, realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Also, our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.